1 Samuel 16, beginning in verse 14 and going through verse 23. But the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from Yahweh troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me." And one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man, mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and handsome person, and Yahweh is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please, let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Are we willing to have Jesus not just do the things that we feel the need for him to do for us, but are we willing that he would be king, that he would increase, that we would decrease, that he would rule over us, and that we would do whatever he commands? Well, Saul was not willing that God would be king. That's why he's been rejected. His heart wasn't after God's heart to keep all of God's commandments. He wanted God to do things for him, and he did some of the things that God said, at least in an outward manner. But ultimately, Saul wanted God to be the servant and Saul to be the king. So we have a little picture of that with Saul and David here in this passage. Saul, ironically, doesn't know about Samuel's trip to Jesse the Bethlehemite. We know that Samuel's been out there, that he's anointed what were the names of the first couple sons? Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah and the others. But that Samuel anointed David, who was with the sheep. And our passage connects to that passage with those words, because David is with the sheep, verse 19. "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So suddenly David is in high demand. Samuel wants David from among the sheep. Saul wants David from among the sheep. Saul doesn't know that David has been anointed king. That's going to be a problem later. But up to this point, Saul's pretty happy with David, isn't he? The greatest need that any of us has is for the Lord to be with us. And the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul. In the first verse here, verse 14, "What a dreadful thing for you to have a taste of some of the ministries of the Spirit of the Lord, but not have him change your heart and give you saving faith." Hebrews chapter 6 warns us that there will be people in the church who taste of the heavenly gift, but they're not saved. And in fact, they depart and they perish, and there's no hope for them to be renewed to repentance. And so it's a dreadful thing for the Spirit of Yahweh to depart from one of the children of Adam, because what we actually deserve is for the Lord to grant demons to attack us and stir up our flesh and our wickedness, which is exactly what we see is the result of this distressing spirit from God, unless it is driven away. And that's the big thing about David. He's not just skillful on the harp and a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, handsome person. The big thing is at the end of verse 18, Yahweh is with him. Yahweh is with him. And that's what we need, is to have Yahweh with us. And of course, he is with us, not in David, but in great David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who incidentally doesn't play the harp, does he? But the tune in the heart, Ephesians 5, is grace in the heart. Colossians 3. And the Lord Jesus is the one that Yahweh is with him, and in him the Lord is with us. In fact, one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. But we must be careful not just to want what Jesus can do for us. Saul, as far as he's concerned at this point, not knowing that David has been anointed king, he loves him greatly, verse 21, and he lifts him all the way to the office of armor bearer. This was, in Saul's mind, a great honor, and it was a great honor as far as those things go, for David to ascend to the office of armor bearer. Saul, of course, had no idea that he'd been anointed for the office of king. And Saul sends to David's daddy Jesse, and he says, "He has found favor in my sight." And there are many who could say this about even our Lord Jesus. They experience some of his wisdom or the idea of forgiveness without really resting in Christ. There are a number of things that that an unconverted man can enjoy from the idea of Christ and by being among the people of Christ. And they say, please let him be around me. He has found favor in my sight. And I love him greatly. And we can think those things about him. But sometimes someone who has had those feelings, at least about the idea of Jesus that he has, comes to a realization later that Jesus must be king. And we all know how Saul will end up responding to David when he realizes that David must be king. No longer is it, "I love him greatly, and let him stand before me, and he has found favor in my sight," but it's a game of royal dodge spear. Every time he's sitting in front of him, picks up the spear and hurls it at him. And thankfully, either Saul's got bad aim or David's got good reflexes or some combination thereof. But the providence of God, by some means, directs the spear into the wall instead of the anointed king. And there are many who respond like that to Christ, particularly when they realize that there are no sins that you can hold on to and hold on to Jesus. Because trying to hold on to Jesus and any of your sins is to say, "I will take all the other things that Jesus will give me, but I refuse to have him as king." And so we see that in the little secret of 1 Samuel 16, that Saul doesn't yet know that David has been anointed the king. We see the warning of how we may mistake a response of loving what someone can do for you, of what the anointed one can do for you. You can mistake that for trusting in him and belonging to him and being saved by him. Do not make that mistake. We must have Jesus as king if we are going to have him as Savior, because there is only one Jesus, one true Jesus who saves, and that's the one who is the anointed. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would make us to love Christ greatly, how completely we need him, not just to help us in times when we are distressed in spirit or under attack of some kind, but we need him to be our king. We need him to take over our hearts and be in command. Help us to put to death the old man and the remaining sin of the flesh. We pray, Lord, that you would not allow us to make the mistake of wanting some of the other things that Jesus does without wanting him himself and wanting him to be king over us. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to hate that part of us that wants to be our own king. Have mercy upon us. Deliver us. We thank you for your Son, that everything that David was in a little way, that the Lord Jesus is perfectly in his power and his wisdom and his skill, but especially in your being with him and giving yourself to us in him. And so we pray that you would make our hearts to rest upon him and rejoice in him.